Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We're rolling.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome back. Another week in the can.
Yeah, baby.
We're back with Ingrid Oliver.
Yeah, who if you listened last week, I gave away the subject and it's winning. So yeah, I was a bit of a loser there, giving away the subject.
But she was great, man. She was just like, she was so happy and bubbly. She had the most beautiful smile. And,
yeah.
You know, we've been really blessed with lovely sunshine and happiness.
Yeah. And again, someone that I always say this, it constantly does surprise me, but someone that we didn't know completely, this one, like, we didn't know, like Jess Ellis,
we know of her work.
Oh yeah, we know of her work. Yeah.
But I mean, like, on a personal level, we didn't know. Yeah.
And someone we're both fans of, you know, people probably know I'm quite a big Doctor Who fan, and Ingrid played Osgood, I think she was called. And yeah, just really, I don't know, you know, just seeing her in like a comedy series that she wrote, that she talks about, and you know, I'm looking forward to The Hustle, that's coming out with her soon, with Rebel Wilson, Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, she's she's worked hard, man. Like,
yeah, man,
she really has worked hard. You know, she started at the bottom, and you know, she really, really worked hard. And
yeah, well, as we all do. We had a different kind of beginnings.
Yeah, we got. Given the wood for the fire, but we built it ourselves.
Yeah,
well,
I like that.
You know
one.
What I mean? Like,
yeah.
But she did. She's worked hard, and you know, she deserves to be where she is just on a hard work alone.
Yeah,
you know,
and talent.
The talent that she's got. So, yeah, I mean, it was a breath of fresh air to have her in.
And it was a dead nice chat as well. Like you said, didn't you? Like, either during the podcast or just after. Like, this is probably the most thespian chat we've had.
Yeah, like, yeah, because we talk about ourselves quite a lot, actually, but you know, it's the most actory chat that we've ever had.
And don't worry,
so
if you're
guessing the people who are interested in acting or who are at drama school, you know, this episode, it will be great for you.
Yeah, because Ingrid talks a lot about, like, says, like, finishing drama school and the realities of getting a job.
Yeah. Finding an agent, and you know, people say to me, you know, they'll send me messages or whatever on Twitter and Instagram, and you know, they say, have I got any advice for actors who are starting out? And you know, well, not to bang on about how I was bought into it, but you know, I was very lucky. I fell into the industry, and I don't really know what advice to give other than just always just be honest, man, and just never try and don't be anyone that you're not in the audition rooms. And
well, I mean, sometimes you need to pick someone,
of course,
you're not.
Yeah, no, but I mean,
when
you're talking to on a personal level, you know, I always try and say that I always do this thing where I poshen up my voice. I go in and I'm really posh sometimes, and then I have to say to myself, no, you're not posh, mate. Like, this is how you talk. And I think I do it sometimes on this podcast as well. Like,
you're a little bit more posh.
I'm a little bit more posh, but yeah, I always try and say, like, you know, always just try and be yourself. And yeah, I think that's the system that the best piece of information I can give.
Yeah, for me, I've, like, you know, is stay creative. That's what I always say. You might leave drama school, or you might be lucky like us and get a job, and then what comes next is more important. Is when you're in your downtime, I think, stay creative. You know, this podcast was born out of that. You know, get you know, you've got access to a amazing camera in your pocket, make some nice
all the
films.
iPhone cameras are not ridiculous now, aren't they?
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah, or, you know, other phones as well, but, like, you've got a camera, you pretty much, well, most people have, if you haven't, borrow one, but, yeah, just stay creative, but, Yeah, winning.
It was a great subject, wasn't it?
It's one of them.
So many different ways that it could have been perceived.
Yeah, definitely. And it's one of them where when someone sends a subject, like last week's with Jason's, it was clubbing. So you were like, okay, clubbing, night clubbing, fine. Great subject. But then when someone sends such a broad subject, but such a simple subject, like winning, it's like, brilliant.
Yeah, because we all like winning, don't we?
Well, I guess so. I mean, the feeling of winning and stuff like that. But then, you know, Ingrid's argument is very good about it being overrated.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, we kicked off the chat. I mean, we won't keep you too long in this intro.
Yeah.
But we kicked off the chat straight away with arguing about it being acceptable to drive in the middle lane.
Yeah.
And how I purposely go out of my way to undertake someone.
You've been doing that a lot today.
Yeah, I know, but I let them know that they're being that they shouldn't be doing it. If you're overtaking, go in any lane you want. But if you're not overtaking and there's no one in the left-hand lane, get in that left-hand lane. So I like to let them know. I know I think it's illegal undertaking. I shouldn't do it.
I don't know.
But I like to let them know, and I'm winning. I'm saying, right, here we go. Let you know that you're being a knobhead by being in this middle lane.
Be fighting fire with fire, though.
I'm fighting fire with fire. Two wrongs don't make a right, but I will get to where I need to be quicker.
An eye for an eye, make the whole world blind.
Yeah, an eye for an eye, and I could do with a new one.
And we'll leave you with that then, guys. Enjoy the chat with Ingrid Oliver. Have fun.
Yeah, listen to it out.
And stay behind, because afterwards, we're going to ask you a big question. So after the chat, listen to the adverts for the old ad revenue, let us know what your answer is to the question after the chat.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So we are on episode 25. We've done so many of them now, I can't remember. I've done loads.
23, I think.
20, some of that.
Summit, yeah. 20 summit.
It's been a long couple of days as well, hasn't it? It's been a long couple of days.
It's been good. It's been thanks to the Patreons. We've been able to kind of get down to London, like we keep saying, which is that, you know, you're our second London guest.
Which brings us into Ingrid Oliver, who's very, very kindly agreed to travel across London on, is it the hottest day of the year?
Probably. So far, yeah.
I mean, I've just been outside having a quick sick.
And I just wanted to come out with him at first.
I just can't be in the sun.
Well, I was just saying, I think people have lost their minds. I just drove over. People have lost their minds in the heat.
Already?
Yeah. Almost got into about 3 car crashes. So
really?
Yeah, lucky that I'm here, really.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, what car was it?
Yeah. You know what car I told you. It was an Audi driver was the worst criminal.
Yeah. Tomo was an Audi driver.
That's what I mean. I think you're allowed to. If you drive an Audi.
What is it with that?
I don't know.
Why
if you're driving Audi, you don't have to indicate.
And it BMWs as well. Like, aren't people in BMWs renowned for being a bit...
Yeah, but it's BMWs, but it's mainly Audi drivers that I've found. Yeah, always. I mean, on the motorway, they flash you when they're behind you to get out of the way and stuff like that.
That can be... What? Well, it depends if I'm in a rush. Or, to be fair, if you're driving on the motorway and if you're in the middle lane and you're not overtaking, then I will undertake you.
Why would you
Because why aren't you in the left-hand lane if you're not overtaking?
No, the middle lane is for when you're going at a steady speed faster than the left...
But if there's nobody in the left-hand lane, then you should be in that left-hand lane because you're not overtaking.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, the middle lane is overtaking, isn't it?
Middle lane and the fast lane. Why wouldn't you go in the fast lane to overtake?
Well, I can do, but I don't need to because you should be in the
left-hand
lane. Oh, my
God, you're making a point. You're such an Audi driver.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
You're teaching me a lesson. That's what you're doing.
No, I'm saying that if you're in the left-hand lane, I will go into the middle lane to overtake you, then I'll come straight into the left-hand lane. Because that's the rules. That's what you're supposed to do.
I don't know. I don't drive. Yeah. I'm just going to...
But yeah, if you're in the middle lane...
I'm
going to
be of England and say you're just an arrogant Audi driver.
Well, it's not even my Audi. It's my wife's.
Is that worse? I feel like it's worse.
Yeah. I'm just wearing the badge of honour. I don't know. But no, I drive it. I've just got a little Vauxhall. But like I say, if you are in the left hand, in the middle lane, I will go out of my way to undertake you, to let you know. And then I'll come right in your lane and then go back in again.
And there's nothing you can do to stop him.
We should just leave that there.
I know, yeah.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, this goes into kind of your subject, I guess.
I'm winning.
Yeah, he's winning.
I'm winning.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
Can I talk about it now?
Or we'll introduce a subject.
Before we fall out.
Let's do that. Okay.
This might be the shortest podcast ever. Ingrid's like, I'm not doing it now. Yeah. You can piss
off. He's an Audi wanker.
So subject, when we heard what it was, we looked at him and we were like, I like it when a subject kind of surprises you because it's so broad and yet so simple.
Yeah.
It's just a really, really nice little... Tell us
about your subject and what the thought process was behind it.
Well, I was going to... There was a thing I was going to talk about, but I'm going to come back to the Audi. Well, so that's exactly what you just said. That thing of like... And actually, to be fair to you, I think... When people drive badly, I want to teach them a lesson as well.
Yeah.
So I understand why you do that, because you're making the point, you're in the wrong lane.
It causes traffic.
I get that, doesn't
it? That's what causes traffic.
I feel really bad now, because I didn't know that about the middle lane thing. Now I feel like it's all my fault.
I'm going to be on your mind every time you're on the motorway. Oh, that northern little shit.
But it is, but there are some people who, like, there are people, like today, the guy who just cut me, I knew he'd been itching to overtake me for about 5 minutes.
On the motorway?
This was just on an A road. But
single or double lane?
Single lane, which then became a bus lane, double lane.
Okay.
So he pulled from behind me to the left of me. At the traffic lights, I was like, he's gonna gun it. And he was gunning it already at the lights. And I looked over at the Audi driver.
Yeah.
And I shook my head. I was like, I get quite vocal when I drive in London. I bring out the wanker sign.
I don't know what it is about like people that brings out the absolute worst in them. Because I don't drive. And like my wife's like really pleasant. I've never heard her swear. And when she drives, even though she doesn't swear, she's just a different... She's just everywhere,
you idiot! Because I have such... I think politeness and courtesy and being nice to people is so important, generally.
Yeah. But when you're in your own little box...
Reason, it's because they can't hear you, but they can see you. It's and I'm like, fucking wanker! I'll become a nabby.
It's when you thank people in London as well. Like, now if you let someone out, people are like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah. But see, I do that. I'm so nice. I'm like, I'm deliberate. I'm really, really nice. Always let people in. And if they don't thank me, I'll lose my mind.
Yeah, I would happily. I'm not a fighter, but I think on the road, I think that's the only time I could happily pull over and have a fist fight with someone.
But which is mental. But there we go. The rage is so instant.
It's mental, isn't it? It's crazy.
But so this Audi driver.
Yeah, did he gun it? What happened?
So he gunned it. And then as soon as the lights turned, they'd kissed amber from red. He was off in front of me.
No. Did you not put your foot down to give him a raise?
No.
No?
No.
Did you not learn anything?
He's a winner.
Not a child. the winning thing. This is the point.
Yeah, well,
it's the thing of like, he was like, I need to get in front of you at all costs. Yeah. I need to get
Did he
one
speed
car
off
ahead.
When he was, or did he get in front of you? Just drive at a normal speed?
He sped off and then immediately hit traffic
and
so he had to stop.
Yeah. See, in London, I'm like, you know there's traffic, so it's pretty laid back. But, like, if you're on the motorway, if I'm in a bit of a rush, I will try and get in front of people. I don't like being behind people on the motorway.
Why?
I'd rather be in front. I don't know.
You're always going to be behind someone.
Because you're a winner.
Because I'm a winner.
You're
a
natural born winner.
Yeah.
Have you never had that? Because I'm a bit like that. Have you never really had that kind of, like, wanting to be the best?
Well, here we go. This is actually what I was going to start off with.
Yeah.
As a little anecdote, I went through a phase, I'm still in the phase, let's be honest, of people not wanting to play games or anything competitive with me, because I'm a...
Are you competitive?
I'm really competitive. Mm. I'm really competitive. Okay. And so I love the process of winning.
Mm.
I love anything... I like being good at something.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy... I don't know if you've ever... I mean, I can't think of an example now of something, but, like, I mean, as... a kid, something like that,
yeah.
Or that game where you pull hats, names out of a hat, and all that. So do you know that game?
No.
You've got to think of. You've got to pull names out of a hat. You play it in quite a lot of people, and then people have to. You have to describe the person. Your team.
Ah, right, yeah. Is it
a bit
like a drama schooly kind of game?
A bit. Yeah. You've called it. It is a drama school. Yeah. But I get quite. But it doesn't matter whatever it is. I get really competitive. But I love. Like, I trash talk. If my team isn't pulling their weight, I'm like,
really? Yeah.
You need to.
Oh, so you're the opposite.
Yeah. But I've always said this. It's not because I'm bad at losing. I don't care. If I lose, but I've given it my all, I don't mind. If I win, I'm a terrible winner. I will gloat.
Oh,
but,
really?
But it's not about me actually winning. It really isn't about the winning for me. And
it sounds like it is.
But it's about everyone. It's about doing your best. The actual result is less important to me. Like, I don't mind because I can lose very happily. Like, I'm not a bad loser.
Yeah, yeah.
I really don't mind. But I've had boyfriends in the past who are so... They can't lose.
Mm.
And I wonder if it's a male thing more than a female thing. I don't want to generalise here.
No, could be,
but that
be,
thing
yeah.
of, like, if you lose, like, they've been in moods for hours.
Oh, really?
Even days.
Wow.
Actually, at sport or whatever, competitively.
Yeah. What I struggle with is I've got a little brother, and, like, say if I'm playing on a game with him, and, like, I'm not taking... Like, if you play big boy games, you get in track like a big boy. I'm not taking it easy on you. And then I've got my, like, my stepmom's there. It's like, he's six, Thomas, like, chill out. And I'm like, no.
I think
he's going to learn. He's going to learn.
Yeah.
I'm going to chuck him in with the sharks. And then when he can swim, he can get away.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like that with my little girl. Like, if we're...
Boxing. Bang!
Yeah.
Learn him.
But if we are playing something, then I won't, you know, I think we were playing Finding Nemo, Guess Who, the other day. And, like... I was playing to win. I wasn't playing to let her.
Yeah.
She's four, but I was like, I think it's important to learn to lose and to lose gracefully.
Yeah.
Because I think we do live now in a time where we have a lot of spoiled brats who are now kind of sort of like early 20s who are, you know, out there. You know,
the Kardashians.
The guy who runs America, for instance, is a bit of a spoiled brat. You know, that kind of. You've got to be able to learn to lose gracefully. I reckon.
And I think you're right. Like, it's not even... Because some people... I mean, you read these stories and you go, is that just something that the Daily Mail's made up? I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
Like, oh, schools are trying to ban sports days or ban
Ridiculous.
Winning because
yeah.
we can't... You know, we don't want to make our children feel bad about themselves if they lose. Like, I don't know if that's happened anywhere in the world.
Probably,
There's a story that... There are stories like that. And I don't think... It's not about... Like, winning can be useful. I don't think it's about telling kids that if... Yeah, that, you know, you shouldn't compete because it's, you know, you aren't... If they lose, it might be really tragic for them.
Mm.
You know, you do need to teach kids that the world is like that. There will be people who will get the job first.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And that is winning in some senses. But it's not everything. It's not like if you lose... Because some people can be really traumatised by it. I think...
Yeah.
And I think... and in this industry particularly as well, it's that thing of... We were just talking about... People that have got our jobs, our jobs.
But is it our jobs?
I mean, every audition, like, this is one thing
you
that
invest all everything you've got into that.
Yeah.
But it's that thing of, like, just because someone else has got it. I know actors who are, like, consumed with bitterness when someone else gets a part. And it's
that wasn't your part,
mate.
Yeah,
like that's fine. And someone if someone does better than you, it doesn't mean you've lost and they've won.
Yeah, and it's not even about being better. I think it's about, like. you can go in it, and it's just that you put, everyone goes in. Like, you know, we were saying about the actor who always gets my roles. He's not necessarily going in and doing better.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I know, he's always at it. Oh, bastard. But he might, this, not Brad Pitt, by the way, but this particular actor.
I don't love Julian Ocean. He's about 30 years old.
Yeah, and he's not as good looking as me.
Well, exactly.
So, you know, yeah. But he goes in and he takes what he's got, which as an individual, so he's taking in something that's totally different as what I've got. And when you, what I do anyway, when I read scripts, I try and put as much as myself into it as possible to make it as real as possible. And I might have something that so-and-so might not have. And, you know, it's about just being right for it, isn't it? And,
of course.
Yeah. But I mean, like you say, it is a double-edged thing because, you know, you really want it as well, don't you?
Yeah.
It is like, if you don't get it, you have kind of lost. But... yeah, I mean,
I
remember.
Do you dwell in it?
Sometimes if it's something that I've really wanted, and then you see, and then I don't know. There is sometimes, like you say, there's certain actors who, if you see them in the room, you go, "Fucking hell, they get every part that I go for." And it's like, come on, just share the bread. Let me have a little slice. Let me go.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, like, it's one of them, and it, like you say, it's just not your part. That your part is the next thing you go for, or the one that you get. Yeah.
And I've always said. A career is a marathon. It's not a race.
No, exactly.
It's a long, hopefully.
We don't
it's
retire
a long
at 60,
time.
Do we? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No. Exactly. I'm going to keep going until I'm 100. And
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If I'm still alive.
Oh, mate, science nowadays, we'll be well into our 100 and something.
Do you reckon?
Is it?
I like
what?
Thought,
do you reckon?
But the Earth's going to burn up in 20 years' time, so it's all fine.
Yeah.
We'll wait.
Yeah. As long as we can crawl
so
under
what we're
a rock.
Is just enjoy the last 20 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that thing of like, I assume every audition I go in for that I'm not going to get the part. I just I think that's by far the healthiest way.
It's a good thing. Yeah.
And I never, like, as soon as I've done it, as soon as I've walked out the door, I forget
back
it.
Back in mind. Yeah, yeah, I'm exactly
not,
like that.
Yeah.
I do that.
It's not.
It's hard until you get good feedback, and then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Is this, no, when you get that, they thought you was great, and this is this, and then you're like, oh. And then it's like, oh, they've gone in another direction. You're like, oh.
They said I was great.
Yeah.
But I've worked in casting as well, actually, interestingly. Before I had an agent and it wasn't, and I left drama school without an agent. And
you know how it works.
Yeah, so I've been in the room on the other side, and it is true. The people that are the best people acting wise aren't necessarily the ones that get the job. No. And I've, time and again, it used to floor me. Often it was to do with completely different set of criteria, and that's been useful for me.
Yeah. So what would it be like? They just don't look right, or they just they didn't
their
have
eyes
good chemistry,
straight, or they've got funny teeth. That's why I'm not getting them.
Do you know what? It was that thing of there was one that really sticks in my mind, and I won't name any names. But we were casting this project, and they'd been looking for this the lead guy for ages. We'd done so many sessions, and it was like a romantic lead part. And we saw every sort of young actor who'd just come out of drama school and whatever, because it was like early 20s, I think, part. And there were some fucking brilliant, really, really fucking good people who would do an amazing audition, and they'd leave the room, and I'd sort of be like, wow. And I'd turn around to the producer and the director, they're like, yeah, mommy, yeah, it was all right, but I think we need to keep looking.
Yeah.
And then... there was one actor who had just been on telly on something the night before, and we got a call into our office from this director going, I really want to see him, I want to see him. Because he was hot. Because he'd just been in something.
Yeah. We was literally saying this morning.
Yeah.
And he came in for this audition, I read with him, and I have to say, it was one of the most uncomfortable reads I've ever done in my life. Because he was so wrong for it. So wrong for it. And because, it was really weird. It was like a really sexy leading man part, and he was a really funny man, but he wasn't comfortable being sexy.
Yeah.
He's a really fucking brilliant actor, by the way, but...
I mean, it's hard to do funny and sexy, I know that for...
Well, yeah, there you go.
I can do neither. No, he's funny,
but yeah, but he left the room, and I turned around to the direction producer, like, literally almost going, oh, that was awkward. And they both went, oh,
we love
God,
him. We love him.
We love him.
Wow.
Let's get his agent on the phone. And I couldn't believe it. And that has stuck with me because...
Wow. And because he was
you
hot.
Never know,
because
do you?
He was,
well, because he was hot property.
Yeah. We said this. We've got friends who have been in soaps who have been at the forefront of everyone's mind, or even just like when there's a series on, or if they've got a good film out, like they're literally hot. So then they're getting into everything. It's like,
I think as well, and as well as that, like, you know yourself, if you've have you ever auditioned while you're filming something, you go in with a totally different mind. Totally I love it, because really? Like, you go in more comfortable, because you're like, well, I'm filming. Like, you go in and. Like every time I've auditioned while I'm working on something, I've got it. I think because
do you just struggle with finding the time to project everything that you're doing on set all day, and then getting home and being like, right, I've been Andy all day, but now I've got to spend an hour being Callum, and it's like, you know, reading something else and then going into that as well. Like I struggle with. Like find and like learning it all as well.
I don't know. I find it easier, I guess, because I've been in a creative atmosphere to then switch it and do something else, rather than say I've been sat at home all day, or I've been, you know, when I worked at like Unilad or whatever, say I've been doing a me office job all day, and then I've got to go home and learn my lines and sit and get your head into that. Yeah. I find that harder than coming off a set and then just reading a different script. Yeah, I think because your brain's in that mode. It's easier to just jump.
What about
for
you?
Me anyway?
Well, you. Well, it sounds like you're a bit more method than me.
I'm not method at all. But no. I meant by it is when I'm on set all day, the last thing I want to do is go and then
look at lines,
learn my lines for tomorrow, and then also learn the lines for this audition that I've got on Friday as well.
I mean, learning lines is just hideous. Oh, anyway, for auditions, I sort of resent it, which is my agent's like, you need to get over that, because that's literally your job. I was like, is it though?
But I don't want to go in unless I know it, unless I'm really, really comfortable with it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that is
right. You get a day as well. Like, you normally get a phone call saying, can you be in London tomorrow for a meeting? It's like, I've just sent you 9 pages.
Did you come down?
Yeah,
so would you? Oh, that must be. Do you know what I thought about that? When I thought about leaving London and the, you know, whatever. And I love London, but it's a lot sometimes. And I was like, oh, if I went, you know, further out. But you have to. And I thought about that coming in for auditions. You'd have to choose quite carefully, I imagine, what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like, there's some things where you kind of go,
it's not worth it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Especially now with how expensive trains are. You're talking you're talking sort of 80, 90 quid for a train, or you can drive it. I drive it quite a lot, but I mean, even then you're talking three and a half hours driving and then an hour on the tube anyway. You're talking 4 hours.
It's a big build-up, apart from anything else. That's like a big...
I mean, the good thing is, as well, is because when I lived in London, and you have meetings, you're only like half an hour away from your meeting. So I just feel less prepared, because I find it hard when I'm at home, especially nowadays, is to get into the script. So like that 2 hour train journey is perfect, because I'm on my own, bang a bit of classical music on my headphones.
Oh, classical music.
Oh yeah, mate.
Wow, you've changed.
Helps me. I've always listened. Helps me learn lines.
I've known you nearly 15 years and you've not mentioned classical music once.
Love it.
It's lovely that. Well, because you can't have anything with lyrics in it, because you need to put a little...
I can't, yeah. If I hear anything with lyrics or...
It's notorious B.I.G., can't
it? It just kind of like takes... Because then I'm not listening to... You know, a crying kid on the train, or the football fans.
See, I'm quite lucky. Charlotte's out at work all day, so I've kind of got the house to myself. You know, I kind of sit in my dressing gown, nice bacon sandwich, and sort of read it. And I've got the whole house as well, and it's quiet, so I can do the other lines. Everyone's got different ways of learning lines.
I like to do it in the bath. I just like to be on my own. So again, the bath. Get in the bath and I'll just sit and be in my own little bubble.
Do you do it with paper form, or do you do it with an iPad?
I can't do it with digital. I can't learn them. Yeah. They just don't go in.
I need to highlight the lines.
Yeah, I've got to
do that. Do you
what,
do you
write them down, do you mean?
Just highlight them. Do you self tapes a lot then as well, I suppose, if you're
a lot more as well nowadays.
I'm so bad at self tapes.
Oh my god, I hate them so much.
I'm terrible at self tape. Sometimes I'm sending them and I'm like, I've been doing it for ages now, but this is as good as it's going to get. And I feel like they'll be sat at Troika in the office going,
I literally sent one yesterday to my agent, and I always send them with like huge caveats going, all right, so just bear in mind that my neighbour was reading the lines with me, and he's sitting in the back of the shot. Because of where I had to put my camera, he's in the back of the shot. So I can't crop, I tried to crop him out, I couldn't. And they're just like, oh my God, Ingrid, you need to get better at this. I was like, I know.
Yeah, it's good, but that's the thing is, we're not
good at it.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it.
We're not DOPs, we're actors.
You know what though, I heard an amazing story. But again, it's like, I feel like, this job is about, there's lots of different elements to it. It's not just the acting. Like self-taping now or auditioning, you've got to be good at various different skills. Yeah,
having an online presence and things like that.
Sort of suddenly become part of it, which is not what it ever was before. And I think there are certain people who are really good at that. And I know I've got friends who have like a whole studio set up in their house.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And like there was an actor, someone told me a story about an actor.
My house is not big enough.
Who, yeah, no, my flat, I mean, literally, no. I can eat and have a bath and that's about it. I heard a story about somebody, an actor, who's doing very well for himself. He literally takes that self-taping thing so seriously, he'll put like atmosphere on it. So if the scene that he's reading is set in a restaurant, he'll edit it, got the lighting all done, and what? Then he'll put Atmos in the edit, put like a bit of just like audio.
I mean
that's,
and he's doing very well at the moment.
Well, to be honest,
are we allowed to know who this is?
I mean, no, let's not name names.
No, okay. We'll talk about it off.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I guess the people who are watching that, the casting directors and that, ultimately, they want to see how the finished piece is going to look in their head. Because even, like you say then, when you're casting, you know yourself, sometimes the writer or the director has got the person that they want in their head. Whenever I've wrote something in the past, I've always gone, oh, what if it was a little bit like that character off that? Or, you know, that actor's really good. Maybe have that. And they could say it. And then you kind of go, right, that's who I would like to play it. And obviously they're normally, like, mad busy or whatever. So you have to go, right, okay, who else is, you know, can do that or whatever. So I guess you're this person that you know doing that is just putting across almost the complete thing to go, this is how your vision will look with me in it.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because when I worked in casting, if somebody had done that, I'd be a bit
is it quite distracting?
I'd be like, all right, mate, calm down.
I would be a bit, again,
I feel like I'm really gossiping, but I'm not saying names, so it's fine. But again, just in terms of self-tapes, when I was working in casting, I had somebody sent a self-tape, again, a very well-known actress, who happened to be in the south of France at her holiday home.
Okay.
And we were casting for this big series and she sent her self-tape in. And it was literally her, like, in a wafty summer dress in this house in the south of France, like, wandering through woods and, like...
Okay.
Like, she did an edit of, like, this sort of, like, almost selling a dream. Like, so she was, like, her in this beautiful flowy dress and her hair all, like, flowing in the wind and, she was walking through a meadow and then she was sitting in a forest and then... It was just like, oh my God, what am I watching? People are quite bold with their self-tapes sometimes. Almost like the more famous you are, you can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want, I read somewhere that even like with self-tapes and stuff, like you shouldn't wear like fluorescent tops or anything that can distract them away from your eyes and from your mouth and from what you're doing yourselves. Mm. Like, they said anything, even like jewellery and stuff like that. Yeah, that you should, like, just so they can focus on just you. And not on what's going on around and what, you know, looking on what's on your T-shirt or anything like that. Mm. So I don't know. I don't know whether that was bullshit. Well, I'm not getting any of it. No, maybe I need to be dreaming.
She didn't get the part.
You walking through Grimsby down Cleethorpes Beach in a flowery dress.
Yeah.
I would pay money to see that.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. It's been seen. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I think the simpler the better.
Yeah.
And I find that hard because I come from a comedy background, so... You put characters on top of you almost.
Yeah.
And, you know, like sketch comedy, I did particularly. So it's like, how can you immediately convey who this person is? Put on a funny wig, put on a funny outfit. So I've had to learn to strip that back and not. And when I even, for self tapes, just even, be really minimal.
Yeah.
And I found that quite an interesting thing to do.
Are you doing more serious parts now then as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think my sweet spot is probably serious things with comedy.
Yeah,
where the character's
got
a bit of a comedy element to it. But I did a serious thing recently which I did not enjoy.
You didn't?
Because it was really serious.
Yeah, sometimes you kind of want that because I'm similar, but you like comedy, and then I've done a few serious things, and you really like, oh yes, I'm gonna get to show my range, and oh, it's gonna be great.
Yeah.
And then like, like my missus will bring me up. I was there like, I've spent the whole day crying. I just want to cuddle. Like, you just get to a point where you're just like, fuck it, I just want to laugh today.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Or the thing that I did wasn't. It was a serious drama.
All right. Okay.
That was I mean, if you look up my CV, you know what I'm talking about, probably. But it was like everyone was serious, but everyone was playing serious all the time. And it was like, there wasn't a huge amount of character motivation.
Yeah, but that's good to do something different, isn't it?
Yeah. It was an interesting thing.
Yeah, it's always good to do something different. Like, yeah. I've never done any theatre, but recently something's come up and I've had a meeting about it. And it's, the idea of it terrifies me. I've never done it. I've never went to drama school or anything like that. So
I never went to normal school.
But being the idea of being on stage, and because the way I was brought into it, every day I feel like a fraud sometimes, because I know how lucky I am to do what I do. And sometimes I think, you know, there's people who have worked their asses off to get to where they are. And again, when it comes to like turning auditions down as well, I'm like, I shouldn't. You know, when say if I'm reading something, I'm like, it's not worth going all the way to London for. Sometimes I feel like, you know, there's people out there that would give their left arm to do that. And I think,
yeah, but I mean, again, as well, though, like you have, like you say, you're not been drama school or anything, but you have been working for 15 years, given an opportunity
that when I was young and worked hard with it. And but again, with the theatre, but then I thought, what my friend said to me, he said, why don't you just do it? And if you don't like it, he said, at least when you get older, you can say that you've tried it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I think the idea of something different. Like you said, you've been doing comedy for a long time.
Yeah.
So to do something serious is, you know.
Well, you should do it.
Anything that scares you a little bit. Because if you're not scared, then that means you don't feel anything.
Of course.
Which means you're not bothered about it. It's good to feel something. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. Of course. And also challenge yourself, because theatre's a totally different beast, isn't it? I've only done one. I was the same as you. I'd not done any. Well, I'd done like you know, a bit of like off the fringe, like 20 people in the audience if I was lucky.
Yeah.
And I did a show in the West End, my first big theatre thing, about 3-4 years ago. And that was quite scary, but also
exhilarating.
I tell you something though, I was working with people who had been in the industry a long time, in theatre a long time, and they were really intimidating. And if you do it, don't go into it thinking, I don't deserve to be here, I don't know what I'm doing, because
they'll eat you up.
They will eat you up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but because, you know, you are, you know, if you do it and you get offered it or whatever, then you have every right to be there. And not they will eat you up, that I don't want to sound, but theatre people, I'm really now.
Yeah, I can imagine it's a bit like, have you seen Birdman?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what's his face character in that? Edward Norton, is it?
Oh, Edward Norton, yeah.
And he's like the really theatre actor,
yeah,
isn't he? Who doesn't take Michael Keaton seriously because he's been in Batman.
Right, yeah.
I can imagine, there's a bit of that.
Well, it wasn't, do you know what? And then most people are lovely. I think I had a bad experience with somebody specifically, but it was, and it was just, just don't let, God, I sound like I'm really doing good. It's theatre, it's amazing, but do it for yourself and do it.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be able to say to like my kids when I'm older, you know, I did all this and I did that, and I might do theatre and think, wow, what have I been missing out on here? Like, this is what I want to do. But at least I can say to my kids when I'm older, at least I give it a go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's all part of acting, isn't it? That sounds like a ridiculous thing to say. It's such a different skill.
Every time I go to the theatre, I walk away and I say to like my wife or whoever I'm with, I go, wow, that's proper acting.
I mean, it's a different kind, isn't it? It's different in it because you've got to, I guess, hold an audience's attention.
But then
you've got to hold an audience's attention. You know, I think that's what makes really good TV
and
film acting.
Learning everything and just knowing when. I think the idea of making a mistake scares me. You know, if I get something wrong and I'm like, oh my
god, it's fine,
and it'll all crumble, and then everyone will be like,
that's normal to be scared.
I'd be like,
but you know,
that's the scary thing.
Yeah, sure. But you know that if that happens, your cast will cover you. You'll improvise. It'll be absolutely fine.
Mm.
I don't know what the play is, because it could be
one hour monologue.
Yeah, it's just me.
No,
but I did watch one. It was a show called Bitch Boxer in the Soho Theatre. And it was one lady, I can't remember her name, and if you're listening, I'm sorry. She played four parts. She played a boxer, she played her trainer, she played her dad,
wow,
and she played something else. But she did it all. So it was just her for like an hour and a half. And that was one I walked away and I was like, wow, that was like, she's nailed that.
Yeah, one person shows just another kind of kettle of fish, Alex. Yeah. If it's like an hour long and it's just one person. But then again, you've done a bit of stand up.
I did sketch comedy. Sketch comedy, I couldn't do stand up. But yeah, I think with plays, someone said something really interesting about theatre that what's so funny about, as you know, when, you know, doing TV and film stuff, you have probably no rehearsal.
Exactly.
Or you've got like one, you go, okay, camera rehearsal, right? Yeah. You do it once and then you're filming. Mm. And millions of people will see it. Whereas theatre, you rehearse for weeks and weeks and weeks. And you get it and you get to know it so well.
And if you do make a mistake, you can put something, you know it so well.
You know you'll be fine. And there are other people on stage who will help you out. And you probably won't make a mistake, is the honest truth of it, because you're so focused. I've never been more focused than when you're on stage. Because
I feel like this is a therapy session.
It's really good. I know. But it's like, you rehearse for 4 weeks, and like a few hundred or maybe 1,000 people will watch it because theatre, you know, you just can't get that many people in the theatre. Well, it depends on what you're doing it. If it's Wembley Arena, then obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so you're fine. It's actually not.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll
be
great.
It's exciting. That's the thing. It's exciting.
You should definitely do it. Yeah. Because what's interesting, I think, like, when you're doing, if you're a good, you know, film, television actor.
Yeah.
Like you both are.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's about that naturally. I love naturalism. I love watching actors that I believe completely. And theatre is quite an interesting thing, because I think good theatre actors have that same thing, that naturalism. But in order to achieve that naturalism, you've got to crank something up to 10
a little bit because
it doesn't quite reach, you know, which is, I've seen that or I felt that when I did that play.
Mm.
I was like, oh, I've got to, I can't just do the mumbling thing that I like doing.
Yeah.
I've got to project and sort of do all of that. So you're still aiming for that naturalism, but...
But it's about opening a different door as well, isn't it? And just just at least being able to say that you've tried. That's the main thing for me. But anyway, going back on to your subject.
Winning.
We told you we diverged.
Yeah, no, I love it.
So...
What is it about winning, I guess? What is it... Because, as you say... Sorry, T.
No, go on, mate.
As you say, you're quite... you like to win. But then why is it overrated?
Well, so, I think a lot of the world's problems come from the mentality that winning is everything. I think, you know, social media, Instagram, all of that stuff is about people going, I'm winning at life, I'm winning.
Yeah, look how amazing my life is.
And how shit that makes other people feel when they look at it and they go, I'm not winning, I don't feel like I'm winning. And so you don't, or, you know, just to get sort of philosophical about it, again, that I do wonder, I'm not saying it's there are certain masculine, and I'm doing air quotes, traits. And there's female traits, and we sort of applaud, the world is run around masculine traits like winning, pride, success.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more inverted commas, feminine traits are like nurturing, compromise, you know, and that kind of thing. And I think because the world, like, to be successful, you have to win all the time. I think that does everyone a disservice. It does men and women a disservice. Because you sort of go, well, winning is the point of everything. And it's not the point of everything.
Yeah.
It's, without sounding like the Dalai Lama, it's about the journey, guys. But
you're right.
If people are focused on the result, it can drive you mad. It makes you unhappy because you're comparing yourself to other things and other people.
I think that there's bad in every... I think there's good in every bad, isn't there? Like, if you can... Again, going back to, like, everyone on social media is all that, all their lives are happy all the time. Mm. When in actual fact, like, they might not be in such a good place. And I feel like that everything that happens in someone's life that might not necessarily be winning...
Mm.
You know, losing as such, but then they can then take that and they can use it for good, and then they can get on top of the world.
Yeah.
I.e., losing a friend or a parent or someone close. You can, you know, people, you know, you do understand why people can take that, and it can destroy people's lives. Or people can take it and they can use it for good. And you know, like when I'm going into auditions and things like that, or if I'm having an emotional day on set, I'll always use what's happened to me in my personal life. So. My losing, as I've used that losing to win. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you recognise the power of it.
Exactly.
The
It's
character building, isn't it? I think, yeah, a lot of the world's problems, and as I mentioned before, now you've got like a sort of generation of younger people coming up, and we've spoke a bit, I don't want to go into too much, but like reality TV and stuff like that. Like, it's the similar thing, like us as actors, we've had bad auditions. We've had theatre shows, like
speak
you say,
yourself,
we're barely 20.
Speak yourself, mate. Yeah. I nail every one.
But we've had theatre shows, like you say, where like, you know, 20 people show up, or one night, you know, two people show up. We've had people tell us we can't do it. You know, I'm sure you'll never make it as an actor. Why don't you do this or whatever? So it's character building. You've been told that you can't do it, and then you do it, and then you go, ah, right, okay. But I still know how it feels to be told. Do you know what I mean? Where a lot of people now, because of like what you were saying earlier, there's this whole thing now where we can't, you know, losing's bad for people, whatever. They don't have that, so they get a win in summer, and it's so amazing. But then the next time they feel a low, they're just not used to that. So it can damage them. Like, there's the poor bloke from Love Island.
I was going
to
say that.
And I genuinely think that's because pre-Love Island, that lad was probably working, I don't know, but probably working like a 9-to-5 in again, quotes, doing a normal job.
Yeah.
He's gone on an island for 2 weeks. Well, no, come back and he's completely, he's like a celebrity now. Yeah. Before he went to that island, he was just...
Well, a lot of the people who go on to Love Island are models and things like that.
No,
before.
Yeah, but I mean, he
wasn't famous.
He wasn't famous. He wasn't known. He couldn't, you know.
Yeah, a lot of them, they've all got like a social media presence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they come back and they're like just
they're
like they're the most. Yeah, exactly.
Superstars.
But then, you know, 4 or 5 months later, when Love Island's died down
or
and the buzz has gone, or the next series is on, they're just kind of trying to get bits over there, and it must be so hard.
It's a really, I think everything. I think you're right. All of it's right, which is that it's how you deal with, like, winning's fine.
Yeah.
It's just how you deal with when you don't always win.
Yeah.
Or because, you know, when I think about,
but about being gracious in defeat as well, isn't
and it, gracious in defeat, and like not seeing other people's success as like a stab to your heart.
No.
I left drama school. I did a one year course and left without an agent. My entire year left without an agent because they'd scheduled our showcase on a tube strike week.
Oh no!
So that was good.
I mean, it's worked out for you in the end,
yeah,
though.
It's worked out for me. It made me graph because I was like, I can't rely on it just to fall into my lap. So yeah, I spent years of temping and working for casting director and stuff. But then I was like, I started quite late, really. I was just about to turn 30. I was like, something needs to happen now. So I started writing comedy with my friend, and we went to the Edinburgh Festival. Like we booked a sort of pub theatre, and we got people to come along, and an agent signed us and all that stuff. So we were like, we want our own show. Like from day one, from nothing.
Yeah.
Like that's what we want. So we spent about 7 years like doing live gigs and writing our material.
And working.
And then we got a series on BBC, on BBC Two, where our heroes, like, you know, French and Saunders or whatever, and Brian Laurie and people had their shows.
So that was like this thing.
We like, this is the thing we've worked towards. We've got it. We got two series of it, and then we didn't get a third series. And it was that thing of like, what do we do now? We've achieved. We've won.
Yeah, you've won.
Where'd you go from there?
Where do we go from here? And so spent, you know, a couple of years after being like, yeah, I had my own series. Pretty great. And then you realise life doesn't owe you anything.
Yeah.
And like, people don't give a shit that you're during series. Like, they do, but it's like, so what?
That was
next?
2 years
yeah,
ago.
Exactly.
Now I'm watching this.
And so I think, and I've seen people, contemporaries, sort of, that's hard. Like when you've achieved the thing you wanted to achieve, essentially won. And then you go, what happens after that?
Yeah, because then you've then feeling the pressure to not better yourself, but to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
I find that I really struggled with, you know, people are always saying, oh, what are you doing next? Or what are you working on?
I hate that so much.
What are you working on? I'm going, oh, I've just done a great film in Edinburgh called Looted. You know, it's me and Charlie Palmer, and, you know, we've got some great cast of scripts made. And then, like, so no more, this is England then. And I'm like, I'm doing other stuff now.
Yeah.
I love This Is England, but I am doing other stuff. But it's hard to go from being a winner. to then going to that, it's almost like the bouncing effect to try and keep up. But,
yeah, I mean, you were so young, both. I mean, so young.
Yeah, well, I was 14 when it was released.
Yeah, like that's, you were winning very early.
But then it's like,
I mean, I remember coming home from that because I was a year older, and I was like 15. And then having that kind of like, yeah, I've done it. I wanted to be an actor, and I'm an actor now. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And then going back home and, you know, sitting in a classroom studying for my GCSEs, that didn't balance out quite well, because then, you know, I felt like I was an adult then. I'd worked. I'd earned my money.
Yeah.
You know, and then teachers telling me, you know, I shouldn't be doing this in my French exam. Like, shut up, like, I can do what. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it's.
I've had it really funny. That. I got a C in drama, even though it had been my job for like 3 years. Yeah.
That is amazing.
There's all the kids, and like a couple of them got A stars, and I'm sat there and I'm like, what'd you get, Tomo? I'm like,
a C. A C and a bifter.
Yeah. The biffer. Did you say a bifter?
Bifter. That's what I got.
British Independent Joint Award.
I got an A star and a bifter. I think
you got an A star in drama?
Yeah, I think that's so, impressive. Yeah.
But
again, that was, I was a little drama kind of.
I chose it because I felt like I had to, really. And then I chose the rest of them because it was just easy. GCSE PE, so I get to go on a trampoline for an hour a day. Go on, watch
I didn't so. Choose that.
So no, I clearly.
I think, again, like going back to what you were saying then, like, I think with your series and stuff, the winning's in the journey as well, and you don't see that until afterwards. Like, no matter what you want to do in life, you know, if you want to lose weight, once you get to your optimum weight, you're then going to go, oh, right, okay, well, now I need to do this, and now I need to do that, or, you know, like you just said, you've given up smoking, so you give up smoking, and if you go, like, a year or so without smoking, then you'll go, oh, I need to give up drinking, or you're never happy with what you've got.
The goalposts always move. The goalposts always move, and I've always, because, you know, I've just done a film, and it's a brilliant, it's a big film, it's a Hollywood film.
Yeah, man, that's
Hollywood, baby.
She's with Rebel Wilson.
She was on Graham Norton.
She was. I think they're promoting it.
With Jodie Comer.
But it's that thing of, like, as you were saying, as soon as I finished it, people were like, what are you doing next? I'm like, literally, guys, this is the biggest break of my career.
Yeah.
Can I not just enjoy this for 2 seconds? But no, you can't, because you've got to already be looking on to the next thing. But I do try and hold on to every single job, and I do by and large.
Every job.
I am so excited to be there. Like, I'm so happy, and I will never. I can't imagine ever getting to the point where I'm like, oh, fucking hell, another film set. I can't imagine that.
I've worked with people who have taken it as a job. They've come. They've not smiled, they've gone
and
gone into costumes, sat in makeup, and then come, action, they've done the thing, cut, gone out, and that. And I just think, how can you not enjoy what we do?
Yeah.
Like, which is what earlier on when I said I feel like I've cheated my way into it. I just feel so lucky to be able to do it. And then when I see people who aren't enjoying the time on set, I'm like, wow, like what you just said, I hope I'm never like that, because I just enjoy it so much, do you know what I mean?
It's a really tricky thing, because I've seen people on set behave badly, very, very badly. Mm. And I think this is one of the best jobs in the world. Mm. We're so lucky to be doing
ridiculous.
It. What are you doing?
Yeah, you could be tarmacking a road or
and
something.
They get, like, yeah, and
working
they get,
nights on the M62. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that was my first job.
Yeah.
But they get rewarded for their bad behaviour to a certain extent. Although I think that's starting to change. Stand.
Yeah, I mean,
do think it's starting to change. I think people are just fed up with bullshit now. They're just like, come on.
Yeah. Especially because we're like, being on set is like clockwork. It's like we're all a team. It's like if you get a football team and one and your midfielder isn't playing ball, everyone around you is going to be like, clockwork. If one little cog pops off, the whole thing's going to crumble. And that's what it's like on set when you get one person who makes things happen.
Oh my god! Yeah,
people talk about it like, oh, Steve's being a bit asshole, isn't he?
And
it's not only cast. I worked with a guy on a film in Hartlepool. He was, I can't remember what he was doing, but he was like, he was an actual asshole. Like, he was not a nice guy to be around, and everyone on the set was like, oh, he's being an, and then people are gossiping and talking about it. It's like, when in actual fact we need to be talking and about the parts, about doing this, and so and so needs hand loading and makeup need hand with their bag, and you know, it just changes the
whole balance,
atmosphere,
doesn't it?
Yeah,
it really does.
Yeah.
And it's really irritating.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than when you work with someone who's just hard work. It's
Yeah, have they won and they're fed up of winning? Have they just gone, right, well, I've done this now and that's it. I've won the race, therefore I can just have my gold medal and sit here and be an arsehole with it.
I think those people have no joy in their lives and don't... Mm. I think it's just a permanent state of... I don't...
Mm.
It's not even about... Maybe they think they're set of themselves as winners and that's just what... And that people should therefore always do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Again, maybe they've just not lost that much. Because normally, like you say, them people are the ones who are doing really well. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. And you look and you go, how are they doing so well? And it's...
Yeah.
Because they're not used to things. Those
are quite hard. I think those people that have always done well.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Those are quite hard people to be around. And not because... Yeah, I mean, because if you haven't experienced losing... Well, maybe we should say winning is overrated, but losing is underrated. Like, losing is really important.
Yeah, if you haven't experienced losing, then how do you know what winning is?
I don't want to be around people who have not had a very severe breakup or had some kind of loss in their life, because there's a depth of understanding that comes from that. You just become a better, all-rounded.
You just learn from it. You learn from your mistakes, and you learn, you know, more from... And you need them. Like, I remember, like, in the past, like when I, like you say, then when I've broke up in relationships, like that's when I'm at my all time most sort of creative, because you just go into yourself and you're like, right, okay, well, you're in your own head, aren't you? On times you're like, oh, this is amazing. Like, do you know what I mean? So
writing you need bad poetry. That.
It's what writing some bad, really bad poetry, poetry.
Yeah. Or like song lyrics. Right. It broke my heart. I've written some really bad poetry after breakups. Oh my god! I don't write poetry. I don't even like poetry.
But it's healing, isn't it?
It's really funny. Yeah.
You could maybe sell them to, like, I don't know, Katy Perry or someone. Maybe bring out a song.
Do you know what? I don't even think even she would take them, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a funny. I just think winning is that thing of. The worst I felt about myself, about life generally, is when I felt like people were judging me for not having achieved enough. But the older I've got, I realise it doesn't matter what other people think about you. Because there are some people that are so obsessed with, you know, getting it right and achieving stuff. And I think if that comes from a place of like, otherwise people will judge me,
what you said at the top of the podcast was like spot on. It's not a sprint, it is a marathon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
And, you know, look at De Niro and Pacino. How old are they?
Really old.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They're still going. I think we'll be all right. It's not a sprint. You don't need to achieve it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the good thing is especially nowadays, we were speaking to a previous guest about this, that things are getting so much better now in terms of equality and everything like that. And the things that are being written and made now on Netflix and Amazon and iTunes, there's so much exciting things that's happening for our industry that I think we're going to be all right. I think we'll be fine.
If Brexit don't kill us. or the planet burning in 20 years.
Don't
like you said.
Get me started on Brexit. Seriously. I managed to that's go a whole podcast. I actually do a podcast about Brexit.
I know. That's why.
What's the podcast called?
Yeah, we'll plug the podcast, definitely. But I think we can't do another hour. I'd love to sit and do another hour on Brexit.
I'll come back. I was going to do Brexit is overrated. Yeah. It's not. Let's keep it light. and the other podcast is Romaniacs. Guess which side we're on. I'm really proud I've gone an hour without talking about Brexit.
Yeah, now, and it has been a good hour as well. I've really enjoyed it. Yeah. So we had the subject and we've also gone into, again, probably the most actory podcast we've had.
Yeah, which is nice. It's a nice change-up, isn't it?
Yeah, because like you said, you've listened before, so we go off and chat about any old random shit, whereas this time it's actually been nice to have three people, creative people who are in the same industry to chat about something that we all feel passionate about.
Yeah.
It's been nice. Yeah. It's lovely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
We have set up a Patreon. We have set up a Patreon.
Patreon, however you want to say it.
A Patreon. We have set up a Patreon.
What that does is that just helps us get things like train tickets, petrol for you. And it helps us get to bigger and better guests. We'll be doing cool little things on there, like
nice little giveaways.
Giveaways, you can put in your questions and then we can talk to you. So please go on to
www.patreon.com/overratedeverything. Bosh. Here we go.
Bosh.
And the dirt is gone. No, it's bang, isn't it? Bang. Yeah. And
what
the dirt
a way
is to gone.
Enter the outro. Bosh.
Great chat, as we said. You know, we can't really say much more about it than what we said at the top of it. Just lovely chat. Again, probably one of the most actory, thespian sort of chats that we've had on the podcast.
Very,
today.
Very actory.
Hope that, you know, for people out there who aren't actors or anything, like, we hope that you've learned something in that, you know, of how the challenges and the, I guess, just the life of an actor, I guess. It's quite an interesting one.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is the most sort of... Well, it was very in-depth. I know the episode that we did with Sean about mental health and things. That was very in-depth. But this was just a proper, real nice chat, wasn't it?
Yeah, we could have, again, you know, like Sean's or even more so like Rebecca Ryan's episode 20, you know, we could have carried on. We could have literally sat there for the majority of the day. The sun was blazing outside, so that was kind of making us want to kind of go outside and just be out in it a little bit. But, you know, Ingrid's just such a lovely person.
And yeah, she's very smiley and very positive and very happy.
And funny, man. Like, she was really funny. Like,
unless you cut her up on the motorway.
Unless you cut her up on the motorway, and then you are getting it.
Yeah.
So, the question, Tomo.
Yes.
People... If you want to answer it, we did this a couple of weeks back on Rebecca's episode, on episode 20, and asked what song was number one on your the day you were born.
Yeah.
But this time we're asking...
We want to know, what's the best thing you've ever won?
Yeah. Or most random, like, yeah, just the most ridiculous thing.
I went to... Did I talk about... Yeah, we talked about this last week's episode at Bongo Bingo.
Oh, yeah.
And someone won a life-size cutout of... Philip Schofield.
That's brilliant.
I mean, so they had to carry that around all night. I mean, that's a pretty good win.
In my head, I'm already thinking, right, the best thing I can do with that is if I go on holiday, do you know, like in Home Alone where he has the cutout of Michael Jordan, just like, go. You've seen Home Alone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Because I know you've not seen a load of fucking good classic
films. Get off my back, man. What's up with you?
He has the life-size cutout of Michael Jordan, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Or like, well,
loads
8 foot of him, or whatever tall he is, and he has it like on a train or something, going past the window.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd do. I'd make sure that people think, "Oh, Schofield's looking after the house." sure, she should be on this morning now.
what's the best thing you've ever won?
I don't know, man. I can't even think. I'm not like
obviously, I don't sort of participate in a lot of sporting events. I genuinely don't know. I've won stuff like on holiday when you win. I was on an all-inclusive holiday.
Oh, hello. And, someone's doing well.
I was on an all-inclusive holiday and I did a quiz. Mm-hmm. I love a good quiz. Let's get quizzical. And I won a bottle of wine.
A bottle of wine?
On an all-inclusive holiday, Tomo.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you could drink, yeah.
Fuming. Well, cheers for this wine that I've essentially paid for. That was from behind the bar. Thank you. What about you?
God, what is the best thing that I've ever won? I don't know personally, but I know that, you know, you see on these things where retweets being a chance to win this or retweets.
Yeah.
One of my mates retweeted something from Smirnoff Vodka once, and it was two tickets to go to Tomorrowland.
Oh, nice.
You know, is it in Bulgaria? It's somewhere like that.
I think it's somewhere like that, yeah. Festival,
isn't it? A festival, yeah. Retweeted it and won.
And did he go?
I got two tickets to Tomorrowland and went over.
Did you go with him?
I didn't go with him, no.
Ah, nice,
yeah, I mean, that's a pretty cool thing.
That's good. I don't ever believe them competitions, but I might...
Yeah, I was thinking
might get on
a load of cobs.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, I don't know what I've won.
Your beautiful wife.
Yeah,
we've both been winners there, haven't we? We've both.
I mean, British Independent Film Award. That was a pretty good one.
With the biffer.
Yeah.
I think I called it a biffer in this.
Yeah, you did. I think I'm still the youngest ever winner
of a biffer?
Of the most promising newcomer, yeah.
Oh, mate, nice one, man.
I think so, I'm pretty sure.
Class, that's an accolade.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
but my dad won't give me it back.
Oh yeah, it's still your dad's, isn't it?
I lived with him when I won it, obviously, because I was only 14.
Just take it.
And it's kind of like, I've got my own house now with Charlotte, and we was redoing all the house, and I texted him saying, oh, can I come get my awards? And he said, no, F off. I was like, they're mine. So I've got like a couple and they're all on his, like, on his mantle.
He'll pawn them if he gets, if he goes skim away.
If I win a BAFTA, that's mine.
Don't take it round your dad's.
No.
So your dad will ring you, oh, bring it round, I want to have a look. Yeah. No, absolutely not, Ego. Let us know what the most random, bizarre, amazing thing that you've ever won. Was it physical? Was it like, I don't know, was it a random thing, or did you just get a pat on the back for doing something mad? You can get us on Twitter.
Yeah, and Instagram.
@overratedeveryone. Patreon, that'll be the best place. That's where we'll see them and we'll read them out.
As well as
reviews.
Whilst we're on this, sorry, man, I didn't mean to. Reviews, just going back to them again, I know we keep saying it, but they really, really do make a difference for us.
Definitely.
Massively. So if you can, you know, as a personal favour, you know, if you can just leave a review, even if it's just a couple of words here or there, you know, whether it be good or bad, like I said again, we're constantly learning. So, your feedback really, really does make a difference for us, and it can help us boost the profile of the podcast.
Definitely. And thank you for listening to all the new listeners this week, to all our listeners from across the world. I know there'll be a lot of new listeners this week who are fellow sort of Doctor Who fans. That's what Ingrid's, you know, you play such an amazing character in a show like that and rightly deserve the fan base it gets. If you are a new fan, thank you. Please do go and listen to the other ones. There's some great episodes. Subscribe as well. Review, like Tomo said. But go and have a listen. You know, if it's an actor you don't know or someone, they're not all actors, a musician, we've had boxers. If it's someone you don't know, fellow podcasters, don't let that phase you. If it's a subject you don't really know, don't let that phase you. You know, Ingrid came on this with winning and we probably talked about that for about 10 minutes and the rest was a nice little chat, and that's what most of them do, really.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I remember we did read a review where someone said that they listened to a podcaster where they didn't know the guest and they didn't fully get behind the subject.
And that's a new one, actually.
Still loved it. Yeah, it was a new one.
I'll read that one out. Let me get it up.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, these things, and we are constantly checking and we are reading, and any new ones that are coming in, we are going to try and read them out to, you know, to show our appreciation of the time that you're taking to do it. I know it's a bit of a pain in the ass, and if you are driving, obviously not, don't do it while you're driving. But
yeah, don't review, you know, and drive.
Stop at the service station, get a Greggs, have a cigarette.
And if Greggs do want to sponsor, review. It was from Big Mikey P, and
Big
it was only
Mikey.
Big
Go
Mikey
on,
P, big lad, Big Mikey. We, the title of the review simply says proper class. It's 5 stars. Thank you. Them stars do help, mate. And it says, can't fault the podcast, even when I don't know who the guest is and necessarily care for the subject. I always have an episode playing on my work commute. Great podcast, great work, keep it up. 2 exclamation marks. So he shouted that really loud.
Legend, yeah. See, them sort of things do, you know, if people are looking for new podcasts to read and they're reading reviews, things like that help. So
definitely. Thanks, yeah. Big Mike, yeah. Okay, so that's it for this week.
Yeah.
We've got an amazing guest next week who most of you will know. We're not going to say who. We're going to leave that as a little bit of a surprise. Don't forget, guys, please get on the Patreon. If you do get on the Patreon, you know, there's things on there where you have access to Patreon Lens, where when we do get together, which isn't very often, I'm sorry, we do little videos on there,
and
little photos.
Early access things as well.
There's early access on there as well. So if you have a look, I'm not sure what you have to do that, but if you go on the, you know, if you want the episode a couple of days earlier, sometimes 24 hours earlier, sometimes less. It's a one thing, like with editing and stuff, it's just madness. But you get them a little bit earlier, which is good, so you don't have to wait till Monday morning.
And you help us in future for you know, guests, exactly. Like we managed to get this time. So, yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in 7 days or earlier if you're a Patreon.